what I really wanted to tell our veterans here in Dillingham is, A, thank you for your service. We had a new bill called the Mission Act that provides our veterans the ability to go to Alaska Native health organizations, clinics, the hospital here, whether they're Native or non-Native, and have the VA pay for that. And then we just had a really important bill. We've been working on this. Was one of my top priorities. The president signed it into law recently. This was the Alaska Native Equity Allotment Act for our Vietnam veterans. So a lot of our Vietnam vets went overseas, served their country, and when they got home, they were told they could no longer apply for a Native allotment. They missed the deadline. Well, that's outrageous. They're serving their country, and then they don't get treated well because they're Vietnam vets in the first place, and then they're told they missed the opportunity to apply for their Native allotment.
So other than the fact they were fighting a war overseas, was there a reason they didn't have a chance to apply?
That ability to apply was extinguished in 1971 when the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act passed. So you could no longer apply individually for an allotment. Well, 1971, think about it. We had all these veterans overseas serving not just in Vietnam, but Germany and Korea and other places. And there was no internet. There was nobody knew that they were going to miss this chance to apply. And they got home and they said, oh yeah, that Native allotment you wanted, where your family had been hunting and fishing for generations, you can't apply anymore. That was horrible and injustice, and we fixed it. And it's going to take some time to implement the new law, but the law got passed. It was my bill. We're very excited about it. And it was nice that the president, of all the legislation that he was signing, that he highlighted, he said, Alaska Natives who served in Vietnam, the injustice to you has finally been rectified by the bill I'm signing today.
So moving on, I would like to ask what your reaction was to the EPA's withdrawal of the proposed restrictions on mining in the Bristol Bay.
Well, look, so what I've been doing, so my view on Pebble is very much been, there's a high bar here, right? We cannot trade one resource, which we know, which is this incredible salmon fishery, the largest sockeye salmon fishery on the planet Earth. We cannot trade one resource for another. And science, not politics, is what needs to drive the decision, which the Pebble Partnership is trying to get with regard to this 404C permit to issue. So I've encouraged the EPA and the Department of Interior and others, to get out to the region and listen. It's what I'm doing on this trip. You may have seen the head of the EPA was out here in Bristol Bay just a couple weeks ago. I'm reading through, and I'd encourage others to read through the huge documents, right, from the EPA, from the Department of Interior, that they are taking it seriously. And to be honest, they raised very serious concerns about that draft EIS. I think in part that was because the EPA decision maker, the general counsel who was out here about 4 or 5 weeks ago, heard from people in the region. They're looking at different comments and different studies. They said they elevated this process to what's called a aquatic resource of national interest. They've only done that, I think, 11 times ever. And so I'm reading through that. The state also had significant concerns. So did the Department of Interior. So the burden of proof is on Pebble and the Corps that the science supports their claim that they can develop this project without harming the world-class fishery. That's, by the way, what state law and federal law require, and they have not met this burden at this time. These concerns must be addressed, if possible, for this project to be able to move forward. And I'm going to continue to closely monitor it and continue to listen. That's where we're at right now.
One of the more recent stories I read was about your support for a lot of domestic violence legislation. Tell me a little bit more about that and how it applies to Alaska.
From the time I was Attorney General 10 years ago, I, with our governor then, we launched the spearheaded what was called the Choose Respect campaign. We launched this campaign to, you know, raise awareness. We did public service announcements, Real Alaska Men Choose Respect. We did pro bono legal summits to increase legal services for victims and survivors. And we increased penalties for perpetrators. But we need to do more, and so I have a number of bills that we're calling the Choose Respect Initiative. One is with Senator Harris of California that would provide essentially a right to counsel for pro bono volunteer lawyers, but through more funding from the federal government for victims. So think about this, Tyler, which is kind of a horrible thing to think about, but it's true. If there's a perpetrator, say a guy committing a violent crime, sexual violent crime like rape, that perpetrator gets a right to counsel, a Sixth Amendment right to counsel under the U.S. Constitution. That's what the Supreme Court says is required under the Constitution. Okay, but guess what the victim gets? Nothing. Nothing. Well, I actually think that's just wrong. Now, maybe you can't change the Constitution over that, but my bill would change the law over that and say there should be a Sixth Amendment statutory requirement for those kind of victims to get legal help. Because a lot of people think, oh, the prosecutor in that case is the victim's lawyer. The prosecutor is not the victim's lawyer. The prosecutor is looking out for other things. We're hopeful it's going to get passed this year. But the men of Alaska, we all need to stand up and say, hey, enough. And especially the young men. I always say to them when I meet with them in schools, and you guys are going to be the ones who change the culture. And we can do it. We can do it. But we got a long way to go. Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for coming down.